Welcome to a special bonus episode of It's About Damn Time podcast. And I know what you're thinking. You're looking at your phones. It's Thursday. Jared, you dropping fresh content on Thursday? Well, you know what? Because I was a guest this week on Diabetes Unplugged. That's, you know, produced by the whole damn show productions. You know what it is. I felt like, you know, it was time for like a podcast episode swap. So I am here to present an episode that I was on, not the one that came out this week, but previously I was on, where I talked about dating while diabetic. So I'm actually in the guest chair while, you know, Nia Henry is interviewing me, and we're having a great candid conversation about this. So without any further ado, I want to present this conversation to you. Feel free to go ahead and peruse Diabetes Unplugged, available on all podcasting platforms right after you take this out. See you soon.
Welcome to Diabetes Unplugged. Welcome to Diabetes Unplugged, the podcast where we shine light on life beyond the diagnosis and redefine the way we approach diabetes wellness. I am being joined today by a very special guest, the one and only Mr. Dam himself of the It's About Damn Time podcast, Jared Dam. How are you doing, sir?
Yo, that intro was like wild. I lit up with that intro. Like, man, I feel important. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, I'm a veteran on this show now. You a veteran on my show? Like, I love this. This
is great. We got some veterans in the house. I'm here for it. Yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to have you back on Diabetes Unplugged. And I'm really excited for this conversation that we're going to have today, because like, this is exactly the type of like candied content that I have been really wanting to create. So if you cannot tell already by the title, we're going to be talking about dating while diabetic and embracing vulnerability and finding love. And I thought, who better to have on this episode than you to kind of just share your insight and all of those things. But before we get started, I don't know if I've ever given you space to kind of share your story and your journey right now. I don't know if people know that you're diabetic, so I just kind of want to open the floor a little bit for you to kind of just tell us a little bit about yourself and like your journey with diabetes before we kind of jump into the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, that's funny, because, you know, in all of our conversations and all of, you know, the meetings we've had and everything, I can't remember if we had this conversation either. So, I mean, I think we know, but I don't think the audience knows.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I am diabetic. I got diagnosed about February 2020. So,
okay.
You know, late February 2020, like, so right as the world was shut down for COVID, I was, you know, left to find out how to figure out how to deal with type 2 diabetes on my own, because they wouldn't see any patients. So I was like freaking out.
Wow.
And I think at the time, I feel like at the time I had COVID, but it was before it really got to the US.
Right.
So I was just coming out from being sick. I was super thirsty, drinking all the time, frequent urination. I was like, yo, I knew there was signs of diabetes. I was Googling it at work. Mm-hmm. And one of my coworkers was like, well, you don't wish that on yourself. I'm like, I'm gonna go
and right. check.
So I ended up going to like the mini clinic. They did the, you know, the glucose test. It was through the roof. Like it didn't register. They was like, yeah, you need to go to the emergency room like now. Like,
so wait. They took it and it didn't tell them how high your blood sugar was?
It didn't tell me how high it was. It didn't even register. And I was like, well, can I go like tomorrow? Because I got like a podcast recording like tonight.
No, you didn't. I know you did not. Are you serious?
I did. No. I told her, like, I got a podcast recording. Like, can I do it tomorrow? She's like, do not even go home. Go right to the emergency room. I was like, I ain't gonna be able to make it tonight. I'm gonna see. Can I make it? You know, I might be a little late. Like, I'm still thinking it's all good. My sugar was like it. 650, 700.
Oh,
it was like something crazy. They had to pump me with fluids and everything, and they just gave me like metformin, like, make an appointment with a doctor. And you know, after a couple hours, they'll slap you on my butt and send me on my way.
Not slap and, you in your you know, butt.
And then by the time, like, you know, everything rolled around for my doctor's appointment, that's when COVID officially hit. They shut everything down. And I was scared. All I had was, you know, people that had diabetes, but they approached it differently. They, you know, no one approached it the same because everybody kind of just did what they did for right. themselves. And some of them might be doing it correctly and some of them might not be doing it correctly.
Right.
I was scared to eat. I was scared to eat. So.
That's crazy. That's how I found out. In the beginning of COVID, like, that's the part that gets me. It's like, it's right in the beginning of COVID. I think, what, maybe a month later, the world, like, shut down. So it's like, you get this diagnosis, and then you're just like, well, you got diabetes, but we ain't doing nothing about it. Bye.
We ain't doing, we got another disaster to worry about. Yeah, it was
Oh, my God. That's crazy. So, okay, at the time of your diagnosis, were you in a relationship? Were you dating? What did that look like?
At the time, I was just splitting up from my ex-wife. Like, we had just split up. Yeah. So we had split October 2019. Okay. So I was, like, you know, still kind of fresh, you know, out of that, just like just barely been in my apartment for a couple of months trying to figure out what do I like as far as, you know, silverware and dishes go. God. Like, I was still at the beginning stages of that, trying to figure myself out. And during that time frame, that's when I realized, I was like, I got diabetes, and nothing. I was alone. So it was really weird to even think about dating me when you're afraid to eat. So, but I kind of, so eventually I did, eventually.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but have you, like, dated since your diagnosis?
Yeah. I have dated since my diagnosis. I think for a while it was me trying to find my footing mm-hmm. on that. So, one, dealing with right after that diagnosis, dealing with, you know, COVID and dealing with diabetes, but trying to navigate. Obviously, you know, you're not going outside, so right. you know, I started going a lot in the dating sites, and then it had been so long, I didn't know what information should I reveal. So I was like, hey, I'm diabetic. And then people were like,
yeah. Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you. Like, how do you feel like diabetes kind of influenced how you approach dating? Like, after you were diagnosed and then now you're on the dating sites and all that kind of stuff, do you feel like that kind of made you a little bit hesitant? Like, what do I reveal right now? Or, like, how was that?
Yeah, like that was it completely changed everything, because I'm a normally upfront person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I try to tell my story,
right?
Because I know I'm a bit abnormal. I have, like, these abnormal things that's going on with me, so I try to be all upfront. But I think the problem was when mentioning that I had diabetes, it almost was like, I don't want to sit there and say that it felt like they looked at me like I had, like, a more severe diagnosis. Like, I was at stage 4 pancreatic cancer or something. Like,
looked at you like you were dying. Like,
yeah. Like, it was like, oh, are you, if I won't get the sugars, if I touch you, I don't want the sugars. You know what I'm saying? So it felt weird. Cause I would say that, and they'd be like, it was almost like you were treated like you were, like, obese, like maybe my pictures were lying to you, like these are old pictures, so maybe, you know, like, I don't know, like it was completely how they handled me. Like, well, let me just stay away from you and I'll listen to your conversation. Some of them immediately friends on me, and some of them not even friends on me, they just stop responding. Like, especially but especially if it's like a person that we meet and we click, right? And I mentioned that I have diabetes, and you see all on their Instagram and everything, they're into fitness, and they're like a pole dance instructor where they said they do that, and it's most of their content, and they have all these people, so they're really fit. And I'm like, yeah, I got diabetes, but I'm trying to, hello? Hello? And that's how it was like.
Oh, no. so obviously that had to, like, be such a, like, jab to like your self-esteem, right? Like, I mean, like, explain that. Like, I guess, like, how did that make you feel about yourself? Like, how did that impact like your self-consciousness, or you know what I mean, like your insecurities or anything like that?
We had conversations about this. You know, I've struggled with my self-confidence, you know, my entire life.
Yeah.
But I think it just really hit, like, it makes you really hit rock bottom, because then it's like, okay, now I already had my own insecurities on how I dealt with stuff, but now it's like they're bleeding over to other people and how other people see me.
Right.
And I felt like I was like Quasimodo. Like, I was like, I was like, this is Hunchback that nobody wanted to kind of talk to, or they just felt sorry for. And I feel like maybe one or two people probably felt like that, especially when you go in within the first couple of days, I'm diabetic, you know, because I didn't really know how to pitch it. So I feel like if I was now hindsight looking back at it, they're like, well, if he's mentioned this in the first couple of days, he must be really bad. I don't want nothing to do with him. I just was a new diagnosis. I didn't know what to do. So I see how people do it differently. Like, you know, I have friends that are diabetics and they don't date a slew of people, and they don't really disclose it until they need to disclose it. And I think that's what I kind of learned from that.
So that's what you're doing now. It's like in the beginning, you know, you're fresh out of, you know, freshly divorced, basically. You're on these dating sites or whatever. You're introducing yourself. In the beginning, it was like, I need to tell people right away. Like, why did you feel like that was necessary to tell them right in the beginning?
I think it's because it was still raw for me.
It was raw,
It was still like, you know, fairly new. But, and which is really weird, because I guess I approached it, I talked about it, is if I had like a STI or something. Hey, I have diabetes, you know, like.
Do you feel like it's because, like, the way that you kind of announced it or talked about it, that kind of struck fear in the people, like, on the receiving end? You know what I'm saying?
For some of those people, yes. Mm-hmm. But for other people, they just, you know, when somebody reveals to you that they struggle with depression,
right,
that's a certain way of how they see things, which also is something I had to sit there and deal with. Mm. But for some reason, I knew to not disclose the depression thing until a little later on, but for some reason the diabetes thing didn't click in my head. Yeah. So I guess it was because it was so fresh and new, and I didn't know how to navigate it truly. So that's actually a good point. So I probably blew that on my own, now that I think about it.
I think it just sounds like it goes both ways, right? Like, I think, like, if I hear, you know, like, someone is dealing with a medical condition or whatever, but, like, you're talking as if you're dying, like, that doesn't give me confidence that I want to, like, grow attached to you and you're not going to be in my life anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not like I was like, oh, my God, I have diabetes. Life is over. Like, you know, it wasn't anything like that. I was just like, you know, yeah. It was like, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I just learned I got diabetes, you know, so that was a brand new shocker. And I was just thinking that that might be like, okay, maybe just, you know, it'll start off a conversation. Like, wow. Because just, you know, talking to you, you like, okay, well, tell me about, you know, how you found out about it. Like, what happened? And I thought it was an interesting story. Like,
but that's different, though. Like, when it comes to me, that's different, because I literally do this for a living. I am a diabetes, like, specialist. So, of course, you're going to tell me that. But I'm just saying, like, if you're talking to somebody on a date and they say, get to know me, that probably isn't something you're going to lead with.
Okay. I've never been accused of being the most smooth person, okay? I mean, it's just what it is. I didn't know. I was like, you know, I thought I was just trying to make conversations. I was just sharing some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Hindsight being 2020, I probably
shouldn't have done that. But now you don't. Like, now you hold off a little bit more. Now you're kind of like, you ain't going to lead with that now.
I'm not going to lead with that. No, I think the main thing about it is just getting to know, you know, the person getting to know me as a person, mm-hmm. you know, overall. Mm-hmm. And then seeing that if we click, then, you know, you start, you know, you ease them into stuff. But that's just in general, you know, stuff. So, and then again, like, now I think I deal better with diabetes now. Like just knowing, you know, okay, I can't actually eat. Okay, I can, knowing that I've dropped my A1C to where it is, you know, now to you know, get into a routine of what I need to do. And even if I, you know, cheat a little bit or not do exactly what I'm supposed to do, not thinking that it's going to, end result is I'm going to wake up, or I'm not going to wake up tomorrow. I'm right. going to die because I decided to have ice cream and chocolate syrup for dessert.
So. Right. So, I mean, I hear it from both ways. I think on the one end, it's kind of like, all right, you have a better understanding of what it means to be living with diabetes, and you're also taking the initiative to take care of yourself so that it doesn't have to play such a significant role in your relationships. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then it's like on the opposite end of that, because in general, there's this huge lack of understanding of diabetes. When you're trying to get to know someone and you're dating someone, and you're like, yeah, you know, when it gets to that time to reveal that, you know what I mean?
Right.
If they don't have an understanding of diabetes, it can just strike fear in them. And I think that might be what causes people to like pull away or friend zone you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think from what I'm hearing and how I feel, it's just like, it depends on the way that you're approaching that conversation. And if you're showing that, hey, I take care of myself, I care about my health, I'm not just out here careless. You know what I mean? I think that has a different impact on someone that you're trying to get to know, rather than just being like, yeah, I got diabetes, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And kind of go from there.
Yeah. And then, you know, some people, they're a little bit of chubby chasers. You know what I mean? maybe they like these men with type 2 diabetes. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing. You like you a little chubby chaser. Your man got got type 2 diabetes. You know you can sneak him some snacks and he's gonna be really appreciative.
Stop it.
You know what I'm saying? You make me some bomb ass banana bread or make me some chocolate cake, and I'll be like, well, you know, I usually don't do this, but you know what I'm saying? So like,
stop it. That's facts, though. That's facts.
I mean, for sure. And then it's almost like it's a form of control. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, like, no, you ain't doing what I want you to do. Hey, I just made cheesecake. You made cheese, girl? I had cheesecake. You made homemade cheesecake? All right, I'm going to be over in a little while. I just, you know, I got to finish this podcast episode. I can slide through. So, you know, some people like it. You know what I'm saying? The chubby chasers. Shout out to the chubby chasers, because
I mean, listen.
I'm a little chub. I'm a little chub. So, you know, shout out.
I mean, you know, there are some women, you know, we like a little thickums. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm saying. I'm there, saying. There's we got nothing body
wrong with
man.
It. Listen, it's winter time. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? We need some
warmth. You know? Ain't nothing wrong y'all, with it.
Come on and cuddle up to the teddy bear. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God. Okay, so now I have to ask this too. And as long as you're comfortable answering this question, then we'll just go with it. But I'm curious to know, what has been your experience when it comes to navigating intimacy with diabetes? Like, there's one thing, you know, you're dating and you're getting to know people, but part of dating is being intimate. And there are a lot of things, like we talked about being insecure and different things like that, whether it's about, you know, the weight gain that comes as a result of diabetes. Some men are dealing with different, you know, hormonal issues, women too, right? And so what has been your experience when it comes to navigating the intimacy part with diabetes?
Ooh, okay, here we go. Here we go. Let me cross my legs for this one.
Oh, okay. Shoot, here we go.
All right, so the number one aspect that you think about is the weight gain, right? And so you are, you know, a little self-conscious about how you feel. And sure, you've gained that weight for a while anyway, so it's like nothing new.
Right.
But now it's just something about having a diagnosis that centers around weight and fat and all this other stuff that kind of makes you really look at it. Mm-hmm. So you like, so there's a little bit of insecurity there, okay? You might, you know, am I going to do this with my shirt on? Am I going am I going to wait till the lights cut off and then take my shirt off? Right. Like, you know, like, what's the response going to be? Is the shirt, like, cause I'll you know, get one of those shirts that, you know, that highlight the arms and smooth out the belly. Oh, and so when you take off that t-shirt, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, he's, the shirt was lying. Oh, the shirt was giving a lie and this stomach is not. So of course you're self-conscious about that part. Right. But when it comes to like the act of that physical intimacy, there's been struggles there because, mm-hmm. you know, diabetes does affect that. And so I think maybe my second trip to the doctor, mm-hmm. I was like, shout out to the great Dr. Tiffany Edwards. but I was like, and it was really weird because it's a black woman. So I chose her because one, I just connect better with black women. Like I was raised with my mom and my grandma, so I connect better with black women in general.
Shout out to black women.
At the same time, like, you know, after that second or third trip, I go there and I'm saying, like, I'm a little concerned, you know, with Jared Jr. and how all this is going to work. It's kind of hard to have that conversation because I'm just like, you know what? I have to be an advocate for my own health. So I stepped up like, Dr. Edwards, so I'm a little concerned about my performance, mm-hmm. and everything. I heard some things about diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so I had my head down, so I was talking to her, like, because, you know, you can't make eye contact with that. You know, it's a beautiful black woman sitting there talking to her, yeah. about your penis problems. It's hard, but I was trying to make sure that it stayed that way. So I had to talk to her, right? So I was like, so how does this work? And everything, I'm because one thing that I had issue with was I felt like I was losing sensation, mm-hmm. around the tip area. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, you know, I'm a little concerned about that and circulation. And so for me, I know that a lot of guys have suffered erectile dysfunction, right. because of type 2 diabetes. Right. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't one of the casualties, you know, of war, oh my you know, God. And face the same fate of my brethren. I didn't need those type of issues.
Now, did you know that this was happening as the result of your diabetes, or that's why you went in to talk to her? Because you kind of had a hunch that it could be connected.
Yeah, I thought it could be connected. I didn't know for sure. I thought it could be connected because I'm a nerd and I've been doing research and everything. Right. And I had issues that were like a little different from. Which is why I did the research. Because I had issues different from erectile dysfunction.
Gotcha.
I suffered with erectile dysfunction, you know, in college for like a little brief while.
Okay.
So, because of stress. Uh-huh. So I knew what that looked like. But for me, it was different because it was like, okay, I'm having issues with the climax. Right. Part. Like, you know, and for me, that was the big concern. Like, hey, am I going to be able to do this, like, you know, with a partner or solo? Right. Because right now, it's just a build-up.
Right, yeah.
You know, so that was the questions I had to go in. So that was really hard navigating, asking, and that's regardless of gender. I asking somebody about your penis is a hard conversation.
To talk about it. Like, listen, nobody is out here announcing from the mountaintops that they can't perform. But that's men, right. and women, too. So, like, for me personally, like, I know that I've struggled for a long time with just being sexually, like, just getting turned on. Like, I just, mm-hmm. there was no inkling of anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't, mm-hmm. even get aroused. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, whether it's man or woman, when you're dealing with, you know, anything that comes to being sexually intimate, that's a hard conversation to have, not just with your doctor, but, like, again, because we're talking about, like, again, being intimate and dating and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, when do you say this? Or do you wait till you're in the bed and be like, listen, I got a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, like that's hard. You know what I mean?
It's hard. It's hard. And because I got burned with announcing the diabetes, mm-hmm. thing, I was like, okay, do I go so far and announce to somebody too early? I don't want to announce that, right. too soon. So I was like, we need to be, you know, really talking.
Right.
Really, really in a good groove right. before that happens. Right. Like, I'm not bringing, because as a general rule, I don't just randomly bring up sex. Right. I kind of wait until, like, you know, it's a proper time. Like it's a vibe. It's a feeling.
You gotta read the room. You gotta read. Yeah.
You gotta read.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
It's reading the room. And so once I read the room, then we can sit there and talk about it. But then it's like, I think for me, honestly speaking, I don't think that a lot of people really cared about my problem.
Right.
In that regard, it'll be different if it was the typical erectile dysfunction. Right. So then it's like, okay, we're being physically intimate. There's a chance I might not get mine. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with it.
Right.
And so they might be sympathetic about it. You know, so you get one of those two things. For me, when you're telling somebody that, yes, I can have an erection and it'll stay erect, but I'm not able to climax. Then that seems like a Jared problem. Right. It seems like, well, I mean, so you still can perform, right? Oh, okay. And then maybe slight ego after a while where they start thinking, well, like, is this trash? Are you not enjoying yourself? Right. Are you not satisfied? Yeah. But typically, don't really worry about it, because if I'm not finishing, it's on me because I'm a guy.
Right.
So I didn't get a lot of sympathy for that. And so it's like maybe people that really care, that, you know, try to help me navigate through it. But most times, even just talking to people, like, not necessarily saying that I engaged in that intimacy, it wasn't a concern. This is like, oh, okay. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Right. So, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is it hasn't, even with the issues that you're having sexually, it hasn't necessarily kept you from getting any action, is what I'm hearing.
No. I can perform with the best of them. You know what I'm saying?
Put some respect on it, okay? Put some respect on my name, okay? I'm still getting it in, but...
Look, I'm not a new guy, you know what I mean? You know? But it's just, you know, it's just that one part. And I think what it did was it made me kind of start appreciating the journey more, like, just overall in general. Like, you know, when you think about sex, you think about the destination, right, that, you know, ejaculation, you know, climax and whatever. But, you know, now it's like, okay, well, I got to get creative, you know, in order to get the fireworks that I want to get, you know, and two, enjoy more of that physical intimacy and that passion involved in it. Could, you know, so it's had me actually kind of slow down, you know, to a certain extent, or focus more on just, like, you know, subtle things like touching and rubbing and stuff, because I already know that I'm not getting where I would like to get. So you might as well just enjoy the overall experience.
Gotcha.
So technically it might've made me a better lover.
I mean, you know, that's what, like, I'm hearing. You know, I mean, because again, I think when people think of intimacy, they're automatically thinking of the intercourse part of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're thinking of just the intercourse. I mean, don't get me wrong. That plays a role. You know what I'm saying? But
absolutely.
Then when that's something that you hyper-focus on, you forget about the things like foreplay and the touching and the rubbing and the teasing and the whatevers. You know what I'm saying? That make for a good intimate experience. You know what I mean? Because you can hop on somebody and, you know, get yours and be done. But like, if you want an actual like experience, that's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit different. And so I think regardless of whatever dysfunction that you're dealing with right now, again, it hasn't kept you from, you know, running with the big dog.
I like what you said just
what?
Now. So,
what
you know,
do you mean?
It's not so much a hopping on something. It's about the experience. So now I can just mark it as the damn experience.
Oh my God. Ooh, I like it. Not you trying to promote. I cannot with you. I cannot. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you find it easier because now, again, you are currently living with diabetes, even though you're in the process of reversing it and all that kind of stuff, but do you find it easier to date fellow individuals with diabetes, or like, have you dated someone that has diabetes, or do you prefer to, you know, dating kind of without these conditions? Like, does that part matter? Like, does it matter to have a partner who kind of understands what you're going through because they've either been through it or are currently going through it as well? Or does that not really play a role for you?
I'm trying to remember if I've dated somebody that has had diabetes. I want to say yes, but I can't really remember. I feel like I've been able to be a little closer knit with people who've experienced dating people with diabetes. Mm. One person I dated, like, ex-girlfriend of mine, her former husband was diabetic. So she went from like one diabetic to another. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So in that regard, it wasn't, and she was a nurse.
Okay.
So in that regard, I didn't feel like I had to explain anything what are you doing here? Like, you know, that was a lot easier. I felt like, and I also felt, you know, pretty good with people with other ailments, mm-hmm. too. Like, I'm not just limited to diabetes. So if somebody, if I'm dating, if they have high blood pressure and I got diabetes, mm-hmm. well, you know, they're not going to be more so, they're not going to be that I'm a runaway type,
right?
Because I heard you got diabetes, because mm-hmm. they're going to understand that. So I feel like early on, to answer your question, I feel like early on, looking at people that either had that experience, had dealt with somebody in their experience, or had a similar experience, helped me and my confidence to date more. Because right. like I said, I felt like such an outcast initially. Right. Now I feel like it doesn't really matter, because now I have more control over, you know, over what's happening with my body and knowledge about what's happening with my body. So now I feel like, now that I'm a little bit more, you know, established, but I feel like it's gotcha. Different now.
So yeah, I get that. And I guess I can understand. There is a certain level of understanding when you're dating people who are dealing with some sort of imbalance or state of dis-ease. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just a certain level of understanding. And I think also, like, is it safe to say, like, I don't want to say sympathy. Like, do you feel like you have to, like, engage in, like, sympathy dating because you're diabetic? You know what I mean? Like,
They have sympathy for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, like, do you feel like they have sympathy for you because they understand, as far as, like, because they're dealing with something else? You know what I mean?
Look, let me tell you something. I'm going to be real clear with you right now. I will take whatever advantage I can get. Okay. So if they are being sympathetic, oh, he has diabetes, and he be in the gym, and he be trying. You know what? If they feel
not with the low voice.
Let me hit you with this low voice, man. Like, if you are listening to this and you feel sympathetic to me because, you know, I'm dealing with diabetes, and you're like, you know, hey Jared, you know, I want to take you to dinner. We'll go to Slutty Vegan. You know, we'll do like a vegan thing, you know, a plant-based diet and everything. I just want to take you out. I am going to take you up.
Oh, my,
you know,
God. Like,
hey, you know, let's go. Let's go.
Oh, my
let's
go. God. So, I can't.
I'm okay. Now I can see, you know, joking, but kind of serious. I can see how other people would, you know, would feel bad about sympathy. Mm-hmm. I don't want, you know, sympathy from that.
Right.
Ultimately, you want to be that person that they see across the room. They be like, okay, yeah. Or, you know, you talk to them, they're like, ooh, okay. You know, he working with something. But like I said, if it can get me in the door, that I can at least talk, I'm okay with it. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know what I mean?
So, shut up. It's a cheat code. I hate you.
It might be a cheat code.
You are fire for that one. You're fire. But listen, ladies, if you're listening, you know, this. I mean, sorry, Mr. Dam, are you single? Like, because listen, I don't want to be helping you shoot your shot, or, you know, giving the listeners a shot if you ain't available.
No, it's not that. I think I've been really focused on the work here. It's About Damn Time podcast. I've been focused on the work with the whole damn show growing, you know, that brand and everything. So I think that's where my focus has been, you know, been lingering with. So I hadn't really been, you know, entertaining, you know, like that. So, I'm just out here just trying to win. That's all.
So I'm going to take that as he's available. So if any of y'all want to take Jared Dam, the slutty vegan, listen, he is down for the cause. All right. And if it turns into something more, listen, you gonna be satisfied is what I'm hearing. He said, don't worry about him, sweetheart.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Don't worry about it.
He said he got him. He gonna make sure you straight. Okay, that's what I'm hearing.
I am a pleaser.
You're a pleaser. So, well, yeah. Listen, ladies, yeah. Check the show notes. Check the show notes. You might be able to get it in. But no, okay, so. Now, so while we're on the topic, like how important do you feel like it is for a potential partner to understand and support your diabetes management? Like, is that when you're dating? Because and correct me if I'm wrong. Do you date just for sex? Do you date for the hell of it? Do you date for marriage? Like, what is your dating kind of like style or whatever? And how important is it when you're dating? You know, I would assume this applies for if you're dating for something more, obviously, but how important is it for whoever you're dating to understand and support your diabetes journey?
I would think that it wouldn't matter which way you were dating. It totally matters. And I'll say this. So regardless of the fact that if you're dating for sex, if you're dating, you know, just to kill time or just for companionship, or you're dating just forward to be in a serious relationship and be in marriage, you want someone in your life to support your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard if you're a gym rat and you got somebody that's the couch potato. Right. It's not going to really work because it don't match the lifestyle. You are a creative, so you know how this is. If you are in a creative mode, you sit there, you know, working on different things and trying to create, or even as an entrepreneur as well, it's hard to date somebody who when they clock out at 5, they just sit down and they ain't worried about it. So this, it's the same thing with diabetes. Like, I need to make the choices I need to make for my life. And if you are like, okay, I want to talk to you and everything. I want to cause you stress that's going to result, you know, keep me in that insulin resistance type of frame. And I'm not working on reversing my type 2 diabetes. That's one thing. If you are like sliding me chocolate cake a little too much, you know, I ain't got a whole lot of willpower, you know what I'm saying? Just to keep me around. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because you know that I'm over here, you know, fighting to put these jeans on, and this button is
shut up. This
last button is a little tight.
Oh my God.
So now I ain't switched to Adidas fans. So you know what I'm saying? So it's like you do need somebody to support that. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't support it, because it could be a casual relationship. Right. So even if you don't support it, don't try to sabotage me. At least acknowledge what I'm trying to do. And I think it's just as simple as if it was a casual sexual relationship, maybe come over a little early around 11 so I can get a full 8 hours so I need to sleep. You know what I mean? You know, maybe don't sit there and come here with some McDonald's fries and, you know, I'm like, yo, can I have some fries?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
facts.
You know, so.
Facts, though.
So it's little things like that. Like, I'm not going to eat the fries in the car. You know, eat the fries in the car and then come knock on my door. Like, well, maybe do some mouthwash because now I smell the fries on your breath.
A mess. So okay, so have you had it on the opposite end of that, where like maybe you're dating someone and they try maybe too hard, like they're trying to, like, you know, fix you, if that makes sense? Because that can't be a pleasurable experience either, like when you're trying to get to know someone. Like you said, you were dating a nurse at one time, right? And so like sometimes that can be really difficult for you to date someone that knows what they're talking about, you know what I'm saying? But then they're like, the agenda is like, I gotta help you, but then I take over and I become like the food police and I'm monitoring everything. Like, have you dealt with that?
Yes. I've dealt with that. Like, so for that ex-girlfriend, that she actually encouraged me to start going to the doctor, and taking my diabetes, more seriously, because I had fell off obviously during the pandemic. Because I was like, I don't know what the fuck.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry. And so that was one part of it. But having someone with the other extreme was like, what did you eat today? Why did you eat this? Especially if we hadn't had a conversation that I need your help I'm asking for that. It's hard because that's not necessarily sexy to be having somebody who's playing your mom, making sure you need to eat this. You take your medicine today, and everything like that. It's appreciated when it's a balance. Life is all about balance. If I'm struggling, I actually would appreciate someone, talking to me and asking me, hey, I know you're going through some stuff and everything. I know you got a lot of stress. Make sure you take your medicine. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Because, mm-hmm. It's a way you can do it.
Yeah.
But when it's like almost like wagging a finger, you need to do this or you better. Right. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Because I'm 43. I'm quite grown.
I'm quite grown. He said he is grown in the streets. Okay. You can't tell him what to do.
I am super growing in these streets. You know what I mean?
I feel it. So, yeah. So, I get it. I get it from both ends. But, it sounds like it comes back down to communication. It's all about the communication. It's all about, the dynamic of the relationship as well. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
You over there wooing.
I feel overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed is because, for one, I'll backtrack before I talk about that. I'm really grateful to have a platform like this where, again, we're able to have conversations like this, because the misconception is that the only thing that diabetics are dealing with is high blood sugar. And you're not realizing how when you plug in that high blood sugar piece to everyday life that people are trying to live in and deal with, like dating in and of itself it's a lot. It's a journey. There's a lot to discover and everything. And then you throw diabetes on top of that. And yeah, it messes with your self-esteem. It really makes you feel a type of way about yourself. There's so many questions that you have. You're wondering, is somebody here for me because they really care about me, or are they here for me because they want to fix me? Like, there's a lot of things to consider. And I think that's what makes diabetes so difficult is it's like, yeah, there's that blood sugar piece, but it's impacting every other area of my life. And so that's why I feel overwhelmed. And honestly, I think my journey was a little bit different. Like with, I had gestational diabetes at one point. So I had diabetes while I was pregnant. And I think for me, I was in a relationship at that time. So I wasn't necessarily dating. But what I will say is, even being in a committed relationship while navigating diabetes is hard. You know what I mean? Like, I remember I still had those questions of like, do you really still want to be with me? Because there's a part of you that feels broken. There's a part of you that feels like damaged goods. You know what I'm saying? Like when you consider the hormonal aspect, like we were talking about intimacy, you know what I mean? And needing to perform for someone like me, a woman, to like not have any sex drive. You wonder, like, is he getting it somewhere else? Like, is he still attracted to me? Like all those kinds of things. These are all things that come up, and it's just like, how do you navigate that? Like, it's a lot
to navigate, but it's a couple things to consider. One, don't treat diabetes as if it's this one thing that's on an island that makes you feel isolated. Absolutely. Because the thing about it is, everybody goes through something. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something. I'm dating people who have lupus. Maybe they have some kind of facial paralysis. Maybe they overweight, they underweight. Depression, anxiety. It could be those things. It could be other things. It could be a combination of all those things. Bipolar. So everybody has something, right? So take once you remove yourself from Diabetes Island and you realize that you're in a pool where everybody has something, then you lean to that second mark, and it's communication. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so all humans are going to have some sort of insecurities at some point in time in their life. There's not one person that's 100% secure all the time. But the issue is, it's important to communicate when you have those insecurities. Like, hey, I'm feeling some type of way right now because my sex drive is a little off. I don't want you going out to get it from somewhere else. Let's work on some alternatives that I can make sure to keep you satisfied while I work through what I'm working through with while I get better. Or, you know, for my thing, I made sure to communicate to people like, hey, it is not you, it's me. And I'm not saying this as a line. It's really the case. And then maybe after intimacy, going back over and communicating. Because the problem is, you'll say that up front, and then a couple things will happen. That person might forget. You know, you get in kind of the groove of whatever happens in a relationship. Or they might be thinking, well, you know what? I'm different. So, you know, he's saying it's a struggle, but, you know,
right.
He ain't met me. Uh-huh. And so it's important to sit there and just talk after the fact, like, hey, I enjoy this. I enjoy spending time with you. I'm enjoying to get to know you more. It's nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. So I always tell my daughter, Brooklyn, it's better to over-communicate than under-communicate. Absolutely. When you over-communicate, you give all these additional facts. No one's going to ask you questions when you over-communicate because you've already given all the answers.
Right. I love that. And that was amazing because that was literally one of the last questions that I had for you. I was like, how has your experience with dating while diabetic shaped your overall perspective on life and relationships? And I think that was such a powerful way to answer that question. We're all dealing with something. We're all going through something. The world that we live in is so toxic. Everybody has something. You know what I mean? There's something, you know, and I think that really is something to be said about just acceptance, you know, like accepting people for who they are and not defining, you know, not putting a label on something or someone, or isolating them, right? And putting them into this group of like yucky people or insignificant people just because they have something. You know what I'm saying? It's like giving yourself permission to, number one, get to know people for who they are beyond the diagnosis. Literally beyond the diagnosis. Diabetes Unplugged. I love it. Yes. Getting to know people beyond the diagnosis. That is so, so, so important because you never know how your light and your willingness to just accept them for who they are, how that changes them, how that motivates them, how that makes them want to be better, and how it may make their journey to wellness easier for them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think if you are listening to this episode, number one, I hope that you enjoyed it because this was so fun. This was so fun. But number two, I hope that, you know, you take in all the information that was shared and that you understand that you are not broken just because you're dealing with some sort of ailment or illness or whatever, that there is going to be somebody out there that wants to get to know you, that wants to be with you, that does have the ability to hold space for you, you know, as you're navigating whatever illness that you have. Jared, I mean, what would you tell people that are listening to this episode that maybe are diabetic or they're, you know, high blood pressure, anxiety, whatever? What advice would you give them about dating in general?
I think, in a sense, when you have some sort of affliction like that, in general, the rule of thumb is to take care of yourself. Mm. You know, I think I struggled a lot because I wasn't the person that actually took care of myself. Obviously, because that's why I have diabetes. But I didn't take care of myself because I just struggled. I always went towards helping other people. Mm-hmm. And when you sit there and you set boundaries and set these things on what you're trying to do for yourself, then that those people can understand what you need in order to support. So if I am diabetic and I'm like, I'm still eating cookies and cake every day, you might feel the need to sit there and reprimand me and wag your finger and be like, well, Jerry, get your stuff right. together. But if I'm taking care of my own self and I'm like, I don't need that space. Now you don't, we're beyond the diagnosis. And now you can talk to me as a human being and to get to know me as a person and not what I suffered.
Absolutely. For. Absolutely. One more question. I know we're wrapping up. I promise you, but how can you elaborate on being vulnerable in relationships as you're navigating diabetes? What kind of situations have you been in that where you've had to just trust that the information being shared is not going to like be used against you? Like, have you ever experienced that?
I've had that where, you know, some of the stuff that I've shared on this podcast, whether it's, you know, me and, you know, Jerry Jr. and physical intimacy, I've had it where, you know, I talking about my depression and my anxieties. I'm a mental health advocate, so I talk about it a lot. It's scary to talk about sometimes because people will use that against you. But for the most part, because the world has shifted into, you know, mental health awareness, you know, it's not as condemning. You know, people are not condemning it with it. But on the other side of it, I've been vulnerable, you know, to talk to people about my father. And, you know, he passed away last year, but we had a tumultuous relationship. And it caused me anxiety. It's a whole, that could be a whole other podcast right. episode. But at that same time, when I talked about this to a former girlfriend, you know, and she shared that with her when we got into an argument or when I didn't do things that was in line with what she thought that I should be doing, the first thing she brought up was like, that's why you just like your daddy. You don't care about nobody but yourself. You're just like your daddy. And it took, she had to go there because everything else that she was doing to try to get reaction to me, I was like, it's okay. You know, I wish you nothing but, you know, continued success and a better life and blah, blah, blah. Like I was taking the high road. Right. And then she said that. And I'm just like, okay, so you just trying to just hurt me. Like you're not tending to yourself. You're in pain. Emotional pain, and you want, and misery loves company. You try to take me with you, and that's when I just stop communicating altogether. So
yeah, so I mean, it definitely can be really scary, really really scary to open up to a partner about this, and I think that's why diabetes in and of itself is a very isolating illness. It's very very isolating because. Again, it almost gives people the fuel to hurt you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I think that goes back to what you were saying about being focused on your journey and your intentions with yourself. You know what I mean? That's number one. Don't seek validation from other people. You have Absolutely. To seek validation from yourself first. And also pair that validation with accountability. As well. You know what I mean? It's one thing to be vulnerable and validate your experiences and say, hey, I understand. This is where we at. You know what I mean? Like, these are the cards I've been dealt type things. But it also takes that accountability and radical honesty to be like, we know what has brought us to this point and only we can fix it. You know what I mean? So focus on taking care of yourself and getting yourself to a place where you are mentally stable enough to handle a dating relationship or committed relationship, whatever, to where it's not taking you off of the track that you need to be on in order to achieve the goals that you have. And so, and it's also not allowing you to find your self-worth in somebody else, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Jared, thank you. Thank you so, so much for joining me on today's episode of Diabetes Unplugged. I really enjoyed having this conversation with you. I want to thank you for your vulnerability. I promise I will not use it against you. You know, I'm not going to blackmail you or anything. So,
well, it's out here in the airwaves
it's
now.
It's
so.
Listen.
There's nothing you can do about it.
You know, like I said before, you know, if you want to go to Slutty Vegan, you know, hit up my boy. He's available. Okay. Jared, let people know about what you got going on, where they can find you. What's going on in your world?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. My name is Jared Dam. I am the host of It's About Damn Time. It's a podcast about self-discovery. It's my self-journey to me building a better me. And hopefully through those conversations, I help you build a better you as a result of that. Also, I am, you know, the CEO and chief creative officer for the whole damn show. It is... Think podcast network, think record label for podcasts. And I think it's the best way to describe what the whole damn show is trying to do. Definitely in the scheme of podcast production, you know, creating great content that will entertain and educate you, much like Diabetes Unplugged, which is, you know, part of the whole damn show. And so that's where you can do, that's where you can find me doing most of my work. So you can follow me. You follow the company overall, the whole damn show. That's DAWHOLEDAMNSHOW. And of course, It's About Damn Time Pod. We're everywhere on social media and you know, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on It's About Damn Time Podcast. Available on Tuesdays as well. So after you listen to this episode, you can go like, I want some more. You can sit there and listen to me on It's About Damn Time.
Right. So after y'all listen, we wrapping up, but you go right over there to It's About Damn Time. Listen to the conversations that he's having. It is absolutely wonderful. We actually just listened to an episode on, what is it called? Solo Poly? Listen more. Mm. So if you want like more relationship talk, listen. Listen to that episode. But okay, thank you so much for your time, Jared. I really appreciate it. I think y'all really like having him on the podcast. So if you want him to come back, you know, let me know in the comments. If you don't like him because you think his breath stinks, you can, you know, let me know that too in the comments. And we'll see.
I'll do better.
We're going to see y'all next week. Take care.